I call this meeting of the Labor Committee.
Gee, many crickets.
I know. It's all the power. Point of my head. To follow tradition of this entire session, Representative Meckland, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
I have reviewed the minutes. I have them right here, and I so move the minutes.
All right. Thank you. Everybody who approves minutes, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion prevails, and the minutes are adopted. So just for everyone that may not know, we are waiting for some paperwork to arrive, copies of the DE amendment. Travis is saying sorry. So I'm just going to take this moment to set the tone for today's meeting. I am super interested in anything anyone has to say, but we're going to be efficient about it when we ask our questions and then we and when we craft our responses. Let's just make sure they're to the point, efficient. Everybody gets to say what they say without having us drag on and on. I'm not specifically looking at you. You're just always looking at me. but to all, including even the bill author, we'll just make sure that we are making good use of our time. Chair Nelson, did you want to say anything about the bill or wait until we have the amendment in front of us?
We can start with the bill. We can, and I can start describing it, but this is House File 2755. That was originally, the original bill was the governor's bill, budget bill for the Department of Labor and Industry. And we've taken that as our vehicle bill, and we're moving it forward. And I guess we don't all have the... I guess we can wait here from that. The bill contains parts of many bills we've heard during session. House File 23, House File 36, House File 2633 is introduced, House File 284, House File 1996, House File 3024, and then we have SCS 2782A-2 was as it was modified by House File 36. So I was hoping that was the people come with the papers. But I'll move House File 2755 to have it in front of us, so technically we can discuss it.
Okay. So Chair Nelson moves that the bill be in front of us, and I will move that HF 2755 be re-referred to Ways and Means.
That's where it's going, yes. And I guess we have to wait here till we get, if nobody, not everyone has copies of the DE, we can have to wait here till we get it.
Thank you for your patience.
Madam Chair.
Representative Wolgamott.
Madam Chair, is it required that we have paper copies of the business before us? I know, for example, in the Rules Committee, we don't have printouts of all the bills that we look at. Would it be possible to proceed, and would anyone object to that, or do we want the, you know, can we view it electronically? We all have our laptops. Can we move on in that manner?
Thank you. That's a great question, Representative Wolgamott. I will leave that up to Mr. Chair and Lead McDonald to see if they're amenable to that solution.
Madam Chair,
Lead McDonald,
Representative Wolgamott, Representative Nelson, why would we need the bill in front of us to be able to discuss it, right? No, I'm personally, I think our team is fine with that proceeding, at least going through some of the provisions, Mr. Chair and Madam Chair. And then once we receive that, hopefully soon, we can pause and have an opportunity to read through it quickly.
Mr. Chair?
And Madam Chair, this was the same bill we heard the other day as we walked through it. I know some people saved their copy, other people did not. I have a copy here in front of me that I've printed out for myself. And so I can walk through this and we can go from there. And then when we get the copy, we can pause and go from there.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we have Chair Nelson's DE amendment, the A23-0104. Chair Nelson, would you like to move and explain your amendment?
I'll move the A23-0104. And again, this is the delete all amendment that's going to be the bill. And again, as I was going through this, it contains parts of many different bills that we already heard today. Section one of the article one of the amendment is the financial part of it, the funding part of it, tells where the money's going in each year. Again, that includes a lot of the stuff that I already said, that the governor from the governor's bill, House File 2336, 2683, or 2633. Anyway, Article 2 of the bill, if you remember back when we heard Representative Hansen's agricultural and food processing worker bill, that is the engrossment there, the first engrossment of that. And again, we heard that in the committee and passed it out. And it does safety standards for food processing workers. Article 3 of the bill is the Nursing Home Workforce Standards Board, and that comes out of House File 908. I looked at the wrong place there. House File 908, that was Representative Abaji's bill. Again, we heard that and passed it out of committee. That's setting up a workforce standards board for nursing homes. The House Article 4 of the bill of the amendment is House File 10, which was Representative Lislegard's bill, and that's the Petroleum Workers Refinery Skilled Workers Bill. Article 5 of the bill is House File, comes from the original House File 2755, and it's the combative sports portion that we had a long discussion of, Representative McDonald, with the gloves and things that you talked about the other day. Then again, that was part of the original House File 2755 from the governor. Article 6 of the bill is House File 2755 is miscellaneous things that came out of that from the governor's bill, but it also includes House File 981 that was Representative Hicks's bill having to do with adult changing tables, House File 2164, which dealt with commercial buildings, codes, changes in codes for that, also, and the House File 2633 also is in the bill, and that's from Lislegard, Representative Lislegard's bill that deals with the poster for veterans to explain to veterans what their rights are and things that are available to them as veterans that if they need help. House File or Article 7 of the bill, and I see we're now passing out the amendment that the people have them. Article 7 is my bill, House File 62, which is the PERB bill, the Public Employees Relation Board, funding that properly, the data pieces that needed to be done so that they can do their job that they're supposed to be doing. And that bill, again, we passed out of here, and it's passed, it's on the floor of the House right now. House File 23 is Article 8 of the bill. Again, that's Representative Wolgamott's meat and poultry processing worker safety bill, the third engrossment that we passed out of the bill out of our committee here. And House File 36, or Article 9 is House File 36, and that's Representative Greenman's warehouse distribution worker safety bill. And with that, Madam Chair, like I said, I move to adopt the A23-0104 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So now that we have it in front of us, all those in favor of adopting the A23 to get the bill in the shape the author would like, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Motion prevails. Any further comments, Chair Nelson, to the bill as amended before we get into the other amendments that have been offered?
Madam Chair, members, this is, again, like I said, so this is our finance bill coming out of our committee this year. We passed a policy bill earlier that's on the House floor now. This is going to Ways and Means to match up to make sure that we didn't overspend our target. And this, again, it's mostly a worker safety bill with some OSHA updates for, again, those are worker safety, some code updates that are in here. And this is our bill that will be funding Department of Labor and Industry. And my brain just froze on me there for a second. The Board of Mediation and the other parts of that we oversee in our committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the First Amendment is the A1 from Representative Nelson. Would you like to move your amendment and explain?
House file, the A1 amendment is, this is basically is House File 1859 that we heard in this committee. While we already have tough wage protections, some people are still falling through the cracks, some construction workers are. And what this bill does is helps in those situations where these people that help them recover wages that they've been promised and are owed from what the work that they've provided. And it's for these workers the way to be able to collect those wages. And that's what the bill does. And there's also, there's some, first part of the bill, lines 1 through 7 on the of the bill, 1-1 to 1-7, are some adjustments to some of the financing in our bill to meet our target.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Discussion to the A1 amendment. Representative Meckland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So to the author of the bill, Chair Nelson, this A1 amendment, does this require general contractors and other upstream contractors to inspect the payroll of wage-related information for their subcontractors and their employees and or their subcontractors or their subcontractors if there's multi-level? Is that what the intent of this is?
Representative Nelson.
That is the intent, yes, to make sure that the person that's ultimately responsible for running the job, the general contractor, makes sure that their subcontractors are complying with the law.
Follow up, Representative Meckland.
Absolutely, Madam Chair. I've talked to my personal lawyer about this, who writes all my contracts, and this is imminent litigation coming for this thing. How can I have the right to go inspect theirs, nor do I even want it, to somebody else's business records, and it could be so far down the food chain, and if an individual works for Joe McDonald and he's the sub of Isaac, which I'm hired Isaac, whoever his employees made that choice, if there's a problem from some sort, that would be on him, not on me. And I can't for the life of me understand, like, who's behind this bill? Who wants this bill, Mr. Chair?
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a bill we heard in committee. Representative Feist carried the bill. It's House File 1859, and it's being brought forth by the members of the construction industry workers that were cheated out of their wages. And this is a way, this is to bring forth, again, to fill up holes that we already have in our wage theft laws that are currently on the books.
Thank you, Representative Nelson.
Yes, ma'am.
Be succinct.
Thank you.
Representative Meckland.
Is there anybody here that wants to testify before or against this amendment? Because I understand we heard this bill before. I listened to the testimony. But this is so absurd to me. This is like beyond like anything I've ever heard. I mean, we hear some pretty wild ideas, but from both sides. But this, like, you're asking some, you're going to put in statute into law that you're going to put a responsibility for one company to have over another company. That is the whole point of having different companies. I guess I would like to know, is there anybody that would like to testify for or against this thing?
Representative Meckland and committee members, while I appreciate the sentiment, we will not be opening up testimony on anything today. We've heard the bills. We've received the testimony. That's not an option today.
Madam Chair.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Throughout our conversation today, are we going to be hearing from the commissioner or the department staff on these provisions today?
Thank you for the question. If there are questions for the commissioner, yes. That is not the same thing as testimony.
I would like to finish, Madam Chair.
Representative Meckland.
Thank you. As I stated before when we heard this bill, if I paid subcontractor one and he paid subcontractor two who did not pay their employee, that means I have to pay that employee again. And under the current language of wage theft, you are then by stealing my wage, because you're making me pay something twice when I wasn't the one who did something that harmed the person on the end. So this is a horrible, horrible amendment, in my opinion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Myers.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. Chair Nelson, a question I have for you is, this bill, as you've presented it, changed since it was presented in committee?
Representative Nelson.
Madam Chair, I do not believe so. I believe this is the language that came out of House File 1859.
Follow-up, Representative Myers.
Yep, thank you, Chair. I know Representative Feist had been talking to a lot of the stakeholders, which I appreciate that, and I know there was some good feedback, and I heard that as well. When it was presented earlier, I was truly hoping that there was going to be some additional changes, because I think we can see that there's going to be some unintended consequences. We had talked about potentially a subcontractor's fund, like there is for the general contractor's fund. We had talked about those situations where general contractors have to pay a certain amount of money up front to get subcontractors to show up to the job site, because the construction industry has, you know, seen a lot of pressure in the past couple of years. You know, I guess I'm a little disheartened to see that there hadn't been any movement from the first time that it was presented, because, you know, I was hoping that the parties could get together and look at those situations that were going to come about from this to help address those. So I just wanted to at least let you know that.
Representative Nelson.
Okay. Like I said, my understanding is that, and if there were changes, I they may have been incorporated in the amendment, but I don't believe there were.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And before I go into any questions, I'd request a roll call on this.
A roll call has been requested for the A1 amendment. Thank you, everyone, for your comments. Anyone else before we move
Madam
to the
Chair.
Roll? Pardon?
I did have a question for the author.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Nelson, you know, this bill was heard in our committee. Is there a reason that we're hearing this now as an amendment to this bill versus the fact that it could have been potentially included in the bill earlier?
Representative Nelson.
Madam Chair and Representative Schultz, it was an oversight when we put the bill together that we just, as we checked out the bills, we missed this one that we were intending to put in. And that's why it's coming as an amendment.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Matt, will you take the roll?
Chair Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Vice Chair Berg?
Aye.
Berg, aye. Lead McDonald?
Nay.
McDonald, nay. Representative Daniels?
Nay.
Daniels, nay. Representative Greenman?
Aye.
Greenman, aye. Representative Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Representative Hussein?
Aye.
Hussein, aye. Representative Jordan?
Jordan, aye.
Jordan, aye. Representative Kislowski?
Aye.
Kislowski, aye. Representative Mecklen?
Nay.
Mecklen, nay. Representative Myers?
Nay.
Myers, nay. Representative Schultz?
Nay.
Schultz, nay. Representative Wolgamott?
Wolgamott votes aye.
Wolgamott, aye. Madam Chair, with the conclusion of roll call, there are 8 ayes and 5 nays.
Thank you. Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Next, we have the A2 amendment from Representative Wolgamott. Would you like to move your amendment and explain?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move the A2 amendment. This amendment makes a few changes to the Meat and Poultry Processing Worker Act, House File 23, that is included in this bill. I worked on it in very close conjunction with the department, and I want to give a special thank you to Commissioner Blissenbach for her strong partnership on this. What the amendment does, basically, it increases that employer threshold from 50 employees to 100 employees. This was something that originated in the previous biennium that the bill was heard in conversations I'd had with Lee McDonald and other members of this committee in making sure that we are striking the balance of protecting the workers that need to be protected while also being considerate to some of the smaller meatpacking industries. We determined that 100 would be a good number to have that threshold, so we're changing that. It also eliminates the paid sick leave provisions. It was not our intention to have a separate standard of leave for this industry as compared to others. And then Lastly, it deletes sections creating a safe work program, and instead it refers to Dolly's ergonomics program that are created elsewhere in the bill. So, again, want to thank Commissioner Blissenbach and her team with the Department of Labor and Industry, and I would ask that members vote yes on the A2.
Thank you, Representative Wolgamott. Representative Nelson?
Madam Chair, members, this is an acceptable amendment. I intend on voting yes, so please vote yes.
Thank you. Discussion to the amendment.
Madam Chair.
Representative Schultz.
Madam Chair, and to Representative Wolgamott, in bringing this, did you mention all of the new provisions as compared to the bill that we heard before us that you presented?
Representative Wolgamott.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. I find it fascinating.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate that. I find it fascinating in this committee that we've heard many different labor provisions this session. And Representative Wolgamott, I personally do appreciate the fact that you have humility towards the smaller meat packers in this provision here. But I also think that underscores a point for us in this session under the consideration of the paid family leave bill that has been moving forward and a reason why we should consider those things as we move forward here. In addition, Representative Wolgamott, did you want to maybe explain a little bit about a brand new provision that is included in here that I don't think was in your earlier bill? And I understand that the underlying bill has more on this, but I wanted to hear from you as to what you see the benefits of an ergonomics program and the detail that you understand of that and how that relates to your amendment.
Representative Wolgamott.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Thanks for the question, Representative Schultz. So, we decided in consultation with the Department of Labor and Industry and work that they had been doing to mesh what we were trying to do with the Safe Worker Program. And so I think that I believe Commissioner Blissenbach is here and she would be able to speak more to the ergonomics program that's created in this amendment.
Thank you, Commissioner. State your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Nicole Blissenbach, and I'm the commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry. And I believe the question has to do with the reference to the ergonomics program. So the ergonomics program was included in the governor's budget bill that was heard. What this amendment is doing is really taking the overlap between the ergonomics program that the Department of Labor and Industry is proposing as part of the governor's budget bill and the meat processing worker protection bill, taking the overlap and deleting it from the House File 23 version so that it's not in two different areas and is squarely within the OSHA ergonomics program that's being developed through the bill.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Wolgamott, and to the commissioner. You mentioned that it was in the governor's budget bill. Unless I missed something, we did not hear any testimony as to an ergonomics program during this session in this committee. And frankly, and I'll just use Representative Wolgamott's bill as a good example. The food workers union that was in here potentially could have provided some testimony had they been a part of it. So I guess maybe first for the commissioner, on this particular topic, who was at the table to decide that an ergonomics program was a good idea for us? And I'll just start with that.
Thank you. Before you answer, Commissioner, I just want to say that the agency did present this bill a week ago on Thursday, and they did include an explanation of this in that testimony. Commissioner Blissenbach.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative. So that is correct. We did present this as part of our budget overview. I believe that was last week. It was also in the Delete Everything Amendment. I believe it's on page 51 that we testified to on Tuesday of this week. And then just some background on the program. So we have been monitoring numbers related to ergonomics injuries in the identified industries in this proposal for quite a long time. And much of this language was really taken from some of the recommendations from a task force that was actually convened about, I think, 10 years ago or more on ergonomics injuries and the severe pervasiveness that we're seeing in some industries related to ergonomics hazards.
Representative Schultz.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioner. This is a big topic, and workplace safety is a big topic, and the work that you do in your agency, I have great respect for. My concern here is we need to, especially when we're citing something from a decade ago, we need to have updated information. We need to have stakeholders at the table, and so my concern is we haven't taken testimony on this from the public, from any stakeholders that would be involved, and especially in including the workers on this particular topic. So I wanted to see have there been workers who have brought this forward to the agency? Let's just say in the last year.
Commissioner.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. Yes, we have been hearing, and as you've seen in bills that have come before this committee, ergonomics has been a big issue. We've heard it from warehouse workers. We've heard it from meat processing workers. We've heard it from the healthcare industry, which partially drove the reason for the Safe Patient Handling Act that was passed some number of years ago. And what we've seen from what we've been able to see in the numbers, especially after the Safe Patient Handling Act was enacted, is a change in the number of injuries we're seeing. It's improved because we've given the focus to ergonomics. We've provided the resources. Much of this program, it revolves around the department developing resources, giving guidance, bringing the expertise to the table so employers can learn from that expertise, can put into place programs that identify these hazards in the workplace, and then help to address them before the injuries ever occur, using the data related to the injuries that are happening to improve those programs over time. That's really the goal of any program that we put together in OSHA, but this is one that, to be honest, is long overdue, and we put a lot of thought into this. We've taken feedback. Happy to consider more feedback, obviously, but it's a program that's been long overdue.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Commissioner, could you answer for us what testimony or feedback have you taken from job creators and from employers as to an ergonomics program? And a secondary question to that would just be, are there employers and job creators who currently have an ergonomics program that they are using in our state?
Commissioner.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. So I've actually just had a conversation, and I don't feel comfortable using his name or the company because I haven't asked him if that's okay, but had a conversation earlier today about this program, and what I heard in response was we have already seen the need for an ergonomics program and, in fact, have incorporated one into our work site, and we have seen positive impacts from that. So there are certain employers out there who understand the dangers of the repetitive stress motions that their employees are experiencing every day as we've moved towards a more repetitive work environment, especially in some of these industries. There are employers who do recognize that and who have already put into place some ergonomics programs within their workplaces, and they are seeing the benefit of that, and I think we can learn from them, and that is what we plan to do as an OSHA program, is learn from the employers that are ahead of us to help advise the employers that maybe are not there yet, with the ultimate goal of keeping workers in the workplace because we can address the injuries before they occur.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So with the information that the Commissioner has been able to provide for us, I wanted to ask Representative Wolgamott, in your amendment, have you had conversation with, and we'll start with this, have you had conversation and what has your feedback been with members of the workforce, so employees, as to ergonomics and its role in meat packing facilities?
Representative Wolgamott.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Thanks, Representative Schultz. Yes, I did consult with the workers that I've been working with on this bill about this, and they believe that the changes in this amendment live up to what we were trying to accomplish with the original language in House File 23.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Wolgamott. So the secondary question to that is, have you, in the discussions about your bill, and recognizing you have been talking to the stakeholders, because now you recognize that now 100 employees should be the standard for which we're implementing the rest of your bill and your amendment here. What have the employers, the job creators, said about implementing an ergonomics program? And the second question to that, do any of the current job creators provide an ergonomics program within their workplace?
Representative Wolgamott.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Thanks, Representative Schultz. As you mentioned, I have had a lot of conversations with both of the stakeholders in this, and I guess I haven't had any specific conversations about existing ergonomics programs in these businesses, in these companies. But again, the main reason why I bring this amendment forward is because this is what I believe to be the best way to go forward in trying to solve the problem that we are hoping to address by enhancing workplace safety for the workers, by making sure that these workers have good, safe working conditions. And again, I appreciate the partnership with the commissioner and with the department.
One more, Representative Schultz, and then we have another member that would like to ask questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I do appreciate that you've hopefully recognized how brief I've been in my questions. I just, as we're thinking about this, I think what we just heard between the commissioner and Representative Wolgamott was the exact reason why this piece of legislation, which didn't reach us in time to be heard as its own standalone bill, also hasn't had the opportunity to have proper public engagement. And whether it's through the department, a separate board, commission of sorts, these sorts of things happen all the time at the legislature that help feed our conversation. And and Representative Wolgamott has worked with certainly the stakeholders involved in his piece of this amendment. But at the same time, there are probably also stakeholders who didn't have a voice in this. And my concern is they never had the chance to even provide proper feedback to make this program potentially better for our workers.
Thank you, Representative Schultz. You were brief, but you were also very thoughtful in your questions. I appreciate that. Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. I just want to let the committee know that I actually represent a occupational medicine doctor who works specifically in the field of ergonomics, consulting Minnesota employers with ergonomics programs, and works with workers to make sure that this is part of it. And he says that there is not only such a need for ergonomics and ergonomic standards, that there are not enough occupational doctors in the state of Minnesota to address the need to fix these standards. And I know that he has actually been in conversation with myself and Commissioner Boisenbach about this need for both ergonomics and occupational doctors. And in talking to him about ergonomics and workplace, Dr. McKinney has said that meatpacking facilities are some of the most in need of ergonomic standards. Large-scale warehouses and meatpacking facilities in particular have high rates of employee injuries, and ergonomics is a big part of that. And so I think what Representative Wolgamott and what the Department of Labor and Industry are doing are going a long way to meeting the needs of employers and more importantly, meeting the needs of workers who are getting hurt. That's why we're doing this, is to protect workers who are getting hurt in Minnesota facilities on the job. And so I think what Representative Wolgamott has done to make sure that these workers who keep us fed are safe at work and is really using the science and the medicine that these workers need and that their employers are asking for too. So I think having these standards says a lot. It also gives workers the assurance that there's someone looking out for them and employers the assurance that they're doing the right thing and taking care of their workers' safety on the job. So I want to thank you, Representative Wolgamott, for your work on this, and you too, Commissioner, for your work to make sure that ergonomics are part of it. It's not just about being in a comfy chair and sitting in as many wheelie chairs as you can at IKEA to find the perfect one. It's really about how your joints and knees are holding up, how you're making sure your fingers aren't being crushed in machinery that is part of this. And this is a big part of not only quality of life, but basic safety. So thank you to everyone who worked on this.
Thank you, Representative Jordan. And I appreciate you saying that, because that's another stakeholder you've brought front of mind is the folks that provide the care to our workers that have been injured. Further discussion before we move on? Lee McDonald.
Madam Chair, just a response to the amendment and Representative Wolgamott and my colleagues on the other side. He has wisely exempted employees with 100 or less for the bill. And I just would urge you, when other bills come to us in the future or on the House floor, as I see the crystal ball, there are bills that will have no exemptions for businesses that have 100 employees or less. No exemptions whatsoever for the paid family leave. Obviously, you have heard us speak on our concerns with it. But Representative Wolgamott knows the importance of protecting small businesses, especially those in his district, which we all should do. And I think it's just worthy to note that you all will be supporting a bill, because he's your friend and colleague, as you should be supporting him. But just keep in mind, he had the wisdom to exempt employers that have less than 100 employees, because he knew the damage it could cause to family mom and pops. And that is just the FYI of today regarding his amendment. And I do appreciate you working with us, Representative Wolgamott did, and because that is a better bill. Madam Chair.
Thank you, Lead McDonald. All those in favor of adopting the A2 amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. The next amendment we have is the A3 from Representative Myers. Would you care to move and explain your amendment?
Yes, I would like to move the A3 amendment, Madam Chair. So the reason I brought this amendment is that I believe that the legislature should continue to be part of the decision making from time to time as we review some of these dollar amounts specifically. So this is removing that section, page 50, section 16. To me, that indexing is going to miss some oversight. It's going to miss some collaboration from, you know, this committee. And I think putting it on autopilot isn't what I would like to see. So I would ask everybody to support my amendment.
Discussion to the A3. Oh, pardon me, Chair Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would oppose this amendment. The OSHA, the part that this is taking out is part of the OSHA updates to bring us in line with the federal government. If we don't keep in line with the federal government with our OSHA program, our MnOSHA would go away, and then we'd be subject to these provisions anyway, because of the federal government would step in, and that would be the only OSHA we'd have in our state. We get many benefits in the state by having MnOSHA. Some of the things that they work with is also OSHA consultation, where they work with contractors and employers and go out and help them to make sure that they're complying with OSHA, so that and walk through. I mean, in construction jobs, they'll walk through with the employer, with the employees' representatives to make sure, and they'll point things out that are being done wrong, giving the employer a chance to fix them without getting fined. Major things that they find, then give them a few days to get them fixed. Again, to prevent getting fined. This is something MnOSHA does that we would lose if we lost federal OSHA, if we lost MnOSHA and we're under federal OSHA. So this is part of the upgrades of the OSHA, and I would oppose this amendment.
Thank you. Discussion to the A3. All right, super brief. All those in favor of adopting the A3, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A6 amendment from Representative Myers again. Would you care to move and explain your amendment?
So moved on the A6 amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll try number two here. So what this is doing is, there's already a private right of action for workers, and I think the purpose of this bill is to make sure that the department has that opportunity to correct bad business practices that take place. So what I see here is what seems to be a kind of a blanket civil penalty, and what I'm also noticing is that there was a lot of lack of uniformity, consistency with some of these provisions, And it lead me to believe that there's probably some additional study that we can do for the future on this. I also think that this is going to increase those litigation costs by putting it in there. Again, we already have these rights for employers, and so we're trying to enforce not every single one of these is going to have a private civil right of action, but this would allow that. So I'm hoping that you guys would be willing to accept this amendment to remove those provisions.
Chair Nelson.
Madam Chair and members, and Representative Myers, again, like you said, this removes across the board in this in the bill the right to civil action by individual employees. This protects workers that don't have a union that can go after their employer if something goes, if they're mistreated or harmed in any way on the job. This allows workers to be able to, through civil action, be able to correct those things and get the wages they're due, get the other things that they're due. And so I would oppose this amendment.
Discussion to the A6. Representative Myers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Nelson, you know, there are private right of actions for a lot of things already for workers, and I think this is just giving a blanket to everything from something very small that probably doesn't need to have that, and for those things that workers need to be protected for, there are that right action. So I would ask members to support this amendment.
Any further discussion? All those in favor of adopting the A6 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A9 amendment from Representative Hussein. Would you like to move and explain your amendment?
Yes, I would like to move.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about A9 amendment. This amendment speaks to the bill that we heard about a week ago, House File 2969, which is Transportation Network Company Drivers Protection and Established. As we know, Minnesota is the one of the strongest labor union in our state and the law, which protect for workers and expect. But the gig economic world, which I can describe as Wild Wild West, we're not taking care for our community and the people that we need. We did have a lot of bills that came through here in our committees that we, as a labor, did took care of it. But it looks like what I have seen is justice needs to happen. Workers need to be stand, because all they complain about, deactivations, wage better benefit, safe work condition for Uber and Lyft. It looks like they're not getting enough paid. Many of them that you can see my community here today are fighting for justice. They want to make sure that they get from Uber and Lyft the minimum wage that they deserve. We're living in the state of Minnesota where we take care of one another. These individuals that you see is a poor community. They don't make a lot of money, but Uber and Lyft are making a lot of money out of those individuals. And this amendment, this bill has shaped a lot since the last time we brought up here. The insurance is not included. All they're asking is three things. Deactivations, make sure they have access to, because sometimes when someone drive with them, whether they discriminated or they don't like the person, they could just put, they can hit one button and say, and that Uber and Lyft will deactivate without consulting with the driver, without listening from the driver's side. It will take months and days to reactivate for these individuals. And they demanding for those work because they want to be flexible, because they want to take care of their family, because they see this is a great opportunity. But they're not getting paid. They have a car that they take care of the car. They take care of the insurance. They take care of the gas. all they're using the app is just to connect the drivers and the individuals that you see. Before Uber and Lyft came, many of those individuals used to be a taxi drivers. They own companies. They used to operate hundreds and hundreds employees and drivers. But Uber and Lyft came in and took it, all of them. There was a 75% when they used to come, the first time they used to pay them a lot of money. But Uber and Lyft, they get greedier and decrease the individuals. What are they getting? 17% of the 100% what they take. And as you can see, a lot of my members and my community has hurt while they were driving, killed while they were driving, and no one attention, no one give them opportunity, no compensations at all. On top of that, they are loyal, they like their work, they are hardworking individuals, and they're not asking for a handout, but they're asking for help, and they want to keep their job. The gig company like Uber and Lyft have put profit over people, and this is unacceptable. It is time to rightfully recognize the gig workers and pay them the life wage and the benefit they deserve. And I'm asking all my colleagues, for us, let's work on this together issue that we need to address, the issue that came. And I would love to see, as a bipartisan, for us to work together, because we heard about Amazon issue and we addressed. We heard about the meat that we are discussing right now, we addressed. This is the same thing. And 90% of those people are black and brown, who are drivers and doing a great job. Same as the window cleaners. We need to take care of those individuals that need and the help that they need. And we need to hold accountability for Uber and Lyft. And not only Uber and Lyft, but all the other corporations that run America. This is a good bill. No matter what you heard from, you know, some of the people might say it's been expensive to do so, but I don't think so. I totally disagree, and I'm from this bill will make everything we heard is like agreement that, you know, the drivers and the state. What they asking is, it happened 17 states are came together, Uber, with the drivers, and I came up with agreement. This bill is not a difference than the bill that passed in Seattle, Washington. This bill is not different than the bill that passed in New York and Jersey, Minnesota. We need to take care of those workers. And at this moment, I would love to withdraw my amendment and consult with the author of this bill, and collectively, as member of legislator, we need to hurt for those peoples. We need to listen to them, and we need to address this issue that they bring in forward. And I thank you.
Okay. With the A9 amendment withdrawn, and Samakab, thank you for your comments, for bringing this incredibly, or pardon me, Representative Hussein. Yeah. Thank you for bringing this forward. Thank you for the passion for your community and for these workers, and for making sure that this is something that we work on and that we get it right. So thank you. Moving on, the final amendment is the A11 from Representative Greenman. Would you like to move and explain your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I would like to move the A11 amendment. And I will explain it. The A11 amendment makes a few changes to the nursing home workforce standards board, which is Article 3 of the DE. And it reflects the ongoing conversations between advocates, employers, and the administration and the authors of the bill. I note a few changes that were made for folks to look at. First, it addresses a concern that was raised in this committee about a provision about other working conditions that removes references to that other working conditions provisions and limits the standard to compensation. The second thing it does is it makes tweaks to the board, including ensuring that the board reflects the geographic distribution of nursing homes in the state. Also, a third thing it does is, in response to the nursing home employers, it incorporates a variance and waiver process that's analogous to the variance and waiver process for nursing home licensure under MDE, and it clarifies the employer's responsibility around worker training and provides some general guard rules for travel expenses. And with that, that is my amendment.
Thank you, Representative Grumman. Chair Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I accept this amendment. I think we should vote yes on it. It's cleaning up some things, and it's, again, working with the industry and working with the workers, coming to an agreement on some of the things and continuing to work on it with the, with those employers.
Discussion to the A11 amendment. Representative Myers.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Representative Grumman, thank you. Definitely there was some stuff that got cleaned up, which I really agree with. And I do appreciate that, you know, you had talked about the compensation piece versus other activities. So I think that was important, you know, ensuring that there's always going to be somebody sitting on that board so there's no vacancies, I think was very important as well. Does this amendment address how some of those lower rate facilities are going to handle this? If she wouldn't mind to a question.
Representative Grumman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Myers. And I will note I am not the bill author, but my understanding is, yes, it does. And it doesn't change the underlying thing that happens in the bill, which allows, which says if the rates are set and if there's some concern about being below market, that until there's an appropriation from the legislature, that won't go into effect. I think that if I read this bill well, that is in the underlying bill section. I will find it. That is, if you look at line, or starting on line page 22, 22.5. So really thinking about and making sure that there's provisions in the bill that allow the board to report to the legislature that increased funding is necessary to meet the needs of the increased pay rates. And that's the amendment doesn't change that provision that I know is negotiated with stakeholders.
Follow-up, Representative Myers.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate that. I mean, we've had a long discussion about a lot of funding going on, and, you know, we just want to make sure that, you know, we're trying to work together here to make sure we address some of those things. I think that's the only question I have. Thank you.
Further discussion to the A11 amendment? All those in favor of adopting the A11 amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. I believe that a couple of our members had wanted to speak to Representative Hussein's amendment, and then they left. But Representative Myers, I believe you were on the list.
Yeah. Is there any way to wait till he comes back?
Certainly.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. With no further amendments before us, discussion to the bill, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Again, this is a house. This is our funding bill for the Department of Labor and Industry, and going forward, this is a good bill. It has a lot of provisions in here about workplace safety and worker safety. Moving forward, and with members, we'll try to find Representative Hussein if we can get those questions in.
We're okay, Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Nelson, for putting this bill together. When The thing I love the most about this bill, and there's a lot of really great provisions in it, is that the center of our is that this bill recognizes that at the center of all labor and industry in Minnesota is our workers. This bill is a historic investment in the people who work for Minnesota. This makes sure that people have a right to not have their wages stolen. We know that that's inherently true, but your bill does something about that. We know that it's true that workers have the right to be safe on the job, and your bill does something about that to make it happen. We know that the workers who are working on construction sites, in meatpacking plants, in nursing homes, do some of the toughest, hardest, and sometimes most dangerous jobs in our state. And your bill makes sure that our statute recognizes that and keeps them safe and keeps them compensated. You know, there's no such thing as a perfect bill. As your bill plays catch up to where our worker standards need to go, there's always more we can do. And I know that gig workers and these rideshare drivers need to make sure that we have a voice. And I know that you're committed to doing that in the future. But for today, I think this is a great bill for Minnesota workers and recognizes that they need to be safe on the job and they need to be compensated for the work they do, keeping our state where it is. So thank you for doing this. I'm proud to support this bill, and I'm proud to be a member of your committee.
Further discussion to the bill? Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And before we go further, I'll just say I'd request a roll call on the bill. Just wanted to ask a few questions moving along the lines specifically, just and some questions for you, Mr. Chair. Looking on page 80, line 80.1, seeking some clarity over, I believe this is one of the bills that we've heard this session. We're in the warehouse workers section of the bill. And seeking some clarity around, there's conversation over 250 employees in one line, but then changing definitions. And I believe this is a Representative Greenman bill. So between what we see in line 80.1 to then compare with lines 80.13 through 80.3 and 80.6, can we just have a little bit additional clarity? And Representative Greenman, can you explain for the committee and for the public where we're going here? It looks like you have a couple different provisions in the definitions to understand truly what an employer or employee would, or which employers would be exactly defined in this bill.
Great question. I'm going to put a pin in that and let some of the folks that wanted to speak to Representative Hussein's amendment go ahead and speak. So we'll start with Representative Kozlowski.
What?
I don't know why he left. Okay, we'll wait till he comes back again. Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Schultz. And we actually had this conversation in Ways and Means. So the two different, so what this bill says is that the provision applies to warehouses that have more than 250 employees at a single warehouse distribution center, or 1,000 spread across their distribution centers. And so the 1,000 is if you had 10 warehouses with 100 people each, you're a company that would be covered.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Greenman. Looking at this, I just want to kind of understand. So, take an individual business. Are we going to, in counting the number of employees, will we be counting, it could be office staff, sales, drivers in this, or is it, help me understand whether it's just the people who work within the warehouse?
Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Schultz. And the intention, and I think we have been talking, this is a good conversation we've been having with the retailers, the intention is that the definition of employee applies to, and workforce quota applies to warehouse workers. So folks who are doing, and I'm looking at the language, that I want to cite to you, because I think we added it by amendment, applies to folks who are actually doing the work in the warehouse. The 250 or 1,000 applies to all employees in that warehouse. So the actual requirement of the quota, right? We know that folks who are there's a lot going on. Folks who are doing administration, folks who are just driving, they're doing a different type of work. This quota standard wouldn't apply to them. But for the purposes of determining if it's a large warehouse, I think if you look at the fiscal note from the standalone bill, it's about 36 warehouses are covered under this standard, or maybe 72. I would have to look at it. But what we're talking about is the total number of employees in the building.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Greenman. I think that you understand the importance of getting this right, making sure that we're getting the definitions right, because we want to make sure that we have warehouses in our state and that we're competitive. I know you understand that. And so, there are some suggestions as to how you could, improve this, potentially adding warehouse in line 80.1. after the word more could potentially help us there, and so just seeking to get more clarity on that as we move forward, so that we're not there aren't any additional unintended consequences that could impact especially smaller, maybe more regional businesses that make their home here in Minnesota or in the upper Midwest.
Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Schultz. And I will definitely look at that with you when we can look at the language. There's time between now and the floor, and I believe that this bill will probably be maybe a standalone. So looking forward to that conversation outside of the hustle bustle. But I would definitely look at the language with you.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate that, Representative Greenman. And that's all the questions that I have at this moment.
Thank you. Members, at this time, we are going to recess. Comments, Chair Nelson.
We'll come back after the recess. 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
Madam Chair?
Yeah. Lee McDonald.
Just curious as to the issue as to why we're recessing for 10 minutes.
We'll find that out after the recess. The committee stands in recess. I call the Labor and Industry Finance and Policy Committee back to order. Chair Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And again, we've had a lot of discussion on this bill. Again, it's made up of a whole bunch of bills that we've heard all the way through session. Yep. And this is the funding bill we have for this year for Department of Labor and Industry. And with that, members, I'd like to renew my motion. Before I do that, or even move my motion, before we vote, we got to make sure that nonpartisan staff is authorized to make any technical amendments necessary to reflect the will of the committee and going forward so the bill is in the right order. Did I say that right? And so with that, I'll renew my motion that House File 2755 as amended be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. And Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Discussion. Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Nelson. I'm really proud to vote for this bill, and as somebody who's been working on worker safety issues since my time in the legislature, I think this is probably the best worker safety bill that we've had. Really looking at the broad set of places that people work, of the ways that people work, and looking at investing in how we as a state can make sure we're keeping people safe. I particularly appreciate the work that Department of Labor has done on the ergonomic standard, understanding that a lot of the bills that we've had have come from the fact that employers and workplaces are not taking into account the way that people's bodies work, and people are getting hurt. I also want to thank Representative Hussein, and Representative Hassan for their bill addressing what I think when we think about the gig economy and the gig economy issues, we see issues of arbitrary treatment of workers, of depriving workers of the benefits of employment, like unemployment insurance, like workers' compensation, worker safety issues, and it is a huge issue. It is an issue that is impacting our economy. It is not just a Minnesota issue. And I think that the bill and the work that we have seen today and the work that I think will continue is really important to community. It's also really important to having an economy that treats people with respect, dignity, and honors the social contract that that is employment. And so I just, again, want to I really appreciated the words of Representative Hussein and the work that we are going to continue to do on that committee on the gig economy. For folks who know, I've been working on the issue of misclassification of employees as independent contractors, and I think that that's an issue that rides alongside this because it is really important that workers, whoever your employer is, that you are treated with the dignity and the respect and the social contract that we have, I think, over half a century of. So with that, Madam Chair and Chair Nelson, I'm really proud and ready to vote for this bill today.
Thank you, Representative Greenman. You made some great points. I think it's a good segue. Chair Nelson, would you like to make some remarks on conversations we had during recess?
Madam Chair and members, the amendment that came for us for the TNC workers, drivers, we still have that bill in possession of this committee, House File 2969. The intention we have is to try to hear that bill next week. The bill that got sent back to us, which is much different than the bill we heard the first time. This is kind of a bill that's a big bill. It's a lot of moving parts and very complicated. And it's one kind of a bill that we, in the interim that we normally work on with a study or something to that effect, and we intend on continuing to work on this bill to make sure that we get it right so that these drivers, these people that are doing this work, get treated in the respect and treated the way they're supposed to be treated. The thing is, right now this bill is not ready to go into the labor bill today, but we will continue to work on this moving forward. And the intention, I believe, is to hold a meeting next week, and you'll get a notice on that. and to hear that bill and possibly clean it up with an amendment and move it to Ways and Means, and that in the future they may get melded back into this. It may not, but we're going to continue to work on this and work on it next year in the interim. So that's the intention of this committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hussein.
Madam Chair and Mr. Chair, thank you for giving another opportunity for this bill to be heard. We heard the community, and they're really frustrated, the things that they're going through. We need to address this, and I hope my colleagues, both sides, will, you know, come together and come up with something that works for both the community and Uber and Lyft, so we could come in the middle and try to address this crisis that's going on. And thank you, Mr. Chair Nelson, and my committee members. And I look forward to seeing you all on Monday, and we can all support this good bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Kozlowski.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. I just want to echo what has been spoken and shared, and thank Representative Hussein and Representative Hassan for your leadership in bringing this important piece of legislation, this amendment, forward that's been worked on by our community. Obviously, this is one in which is a matter of injustice, as we heard story after story about how these rideshare companies are really circumventing what we've worked so hard in Minnesota for workers' rights and protections, you know, long hours, shrinking pay, risk of violence, and so much, not to mention that when I talk with our rideshare workers, everything is done in communication with an app, and how dehumanizing that is to not have that being able to go to a human and talk about these things. And so we've seen our community come here and show up in full force, and I want to say thank you, and we hear you, and I echo what has been said in moving us forward to our hearing next week to really start to address a regulatory framework to put into law the protections and dignity that our community, especially our communities of color, East African and New Americans, deserve. You know, our communities are not failing or falling behind. We've been failed. And I just want to say that our word is our currency, and I know that here with my partner in justice and Representative Hussein to carry forward and make sure that we get the power back into the hands of the people and we get the money and resources and respect that's been being made off the backs of too many people. And so we will be fighting for justice and moving this forward, and we give you our word.
Thank you so much to both of you, and thank you, Representative Hussein, for bringing this forward. This is a critical issue. These workers live in every single one of our communities. This touches all of us. It's not going to be ignored. We are going to do something for these workers, and we're going to do it right. So thank you so much for your remarks, Rep. Hussein and Representative Kozlowski. Any further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This, I'm going to go back to ergonomics for a moment. And, you know, we were talking about meat processing facilities, but it's not just meat processing facilities. And so I may need the commissioner's help in kind of drawing out some understanding as to why we have the ergonomic section written as we do. And maybe the commissioner, I believe I read, so let me just start by my first question, Madam Chair, for the commissioner is, is it true, based upon what I'm reading here, that the ergonomic standards in this bill would only apply to businesses or entities, the three or four laid out here, that are over 100 employees?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Representative, that is true for meatpacking and for warehouse. It is not true for the healthcare industries that are covered. That is includes all under that definition.
Representative Schultz.
Wow. I hope the members of the committee heard that. We are instituting, with this bill, legislation and language that has huge ramifications to our entire, well, not entire, but several different very key and important entities. You can call them industries if you want, but when you think about a healthcare facility under the definitions of this bill, we're on page 51 if you're still following along with us. It also includes nursing homes, and we're having a really hard time getting people, and this is saying that any facility. So I guess my next question for the commissioner is, where did the standards and the definitions and the language that you have here under ergonomics, where did that originate? I'm assuming that there are other states that do this. So is there a particular state that we're seeking to model after, or that maybe we copy and paste it from? Where does this language come from?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Representative. So as I mentioned earlier, we've had a Safe Patient Handling Act in statute for some time now. And that the definition of healthcare industry that we use in this bill is the exact same that we have in that statute that's already in place. And when that was instituted, we learned a lot. And in fact, the numbers we have ran since that Safe Patient Handling Act was instituted and put into place we've seen a 30% decrease in injuries related to patient handling since that was passed. So I understand that you're talking about costs, but I think when we talk about costs, we have to look at it from two different perspectives. One is the cost of having an employee injured on the job, and looking at what the true cost of that is, because I think every employer out there would agree with me that it is costly to have employers injured on the job, whether that's OSHA inspections and investigations, whether that's work comp premiums that they're paying, or just the time that the worker is away getting the treatment they need. So this is built largely on that Safe Patient Handling statute. Building on the positive impacts we've seen from that, and building it out into industries where we know that ergonomics injuries are common.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioner. My next question for you would be, why are we only going after these three things in the definitions here versus several other industries that just come off the top of my mind that, you know, this standard may be held to and might be held to in other states?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Representative, so we've done, and I think you mentioned earlier, one of the questions you asked is where did this come from, but this is a department proposal. We have put together this language using our expertise in the OSHA realm in our consultation with the safety industry. So the Minnesota Safety Council was able to testify in the Senate in support of this. I think they were not able to be here in the House. But so all of that input is what led to this language. And the reason we picked the industries we picked was based on the data we're seeing. So seeing the high rates of injuries related to ergonomics in those industries. And what we're hearing from workers, what we're hearing in committees and other, and seeing what we're seeing in other bills, like the warehouse bill, like the meatpacking bill, and trying to address what the numbers are showing us, but also where we think it makes sense and what we're hearing from the communities as well.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioner. So have you had discussion and have you taken feedback from specifically warehouse distribution centers?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Representative, I have not specifically spoken with warehouse distribution centers. I'm not sure if my team has, but when the task force that I mentioned earlier was brought in, we had experts from all sorts of the medical field, from workers, from ergonomists. Lots of people gave input into what the task force considered, as well as the what we've seen with the Safe Patient Handling Act.
Mm-hmm. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Commissioner, my first question based upon that, is there a readout or a report that you have from that task force that could help inform this committee and the public as to the proposals and how we got to this point?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Representative, I believe I can provide that.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioner. So then, thinking about the entirety of this underlying bill and the ergonomic section, my question for the body and both to the Commissioner and Representative Greenman is, why should we have two different standards over ergonomic standards that apply differently to employees, to the definitions of a warehouse versus the warehouse distribution center that is defined here?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Representative, so the bills do different things. The warehouse, and I can let Representative Greenman talk about her bill, but the ergonomics is really focused on an ergonomics program. It's not talking about quotas. It's not talking about many of the other things that we see in that bill. It's specifically focused on an ergonomics program. That's the reason why we had the amendment to amend the meat processing to make sure that all of the overlap was, there was no overlap, because it's true, we don't want to have two different ways to enforce kind of the same thing and get to the same point we're looking at. But there isn't that overlap with the warehouse worker bill.
Thank you. Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Commissioner Wissenbach, because I think you started with where I would go, which is the warehouse worker safety bill does not have an ergonomic standard. It is just about quotas, because when I was at the Amazon warehouse, and I did, I took a tour, and I've been talking to folks. I got to meet a lot of their the folks who run the facility in Shakopee. What is clear is that the issue of speed and how much and how people are tracked and how people are the information they have over it is part of what's hurting people. And so these standards actually work really well together. In the same way, when we heard testimony from the Teamsters, they have an ergonomics built into a lot of their contracts for UPS, for Cisco. This would fit on top of that. And a lot of actually what we heard from UPS and Cisco was that they actually have part of the ergonomics conversation is how much you can do in an hour, how much a human body can do and not get hurt. And that's what's missing right now in a lot of our, in at least at Amazon, because of the way that the algorithms work. And so I actually think that these, my warehouse worker bill would stand on its own, but with the ergonomic standard, it'll actually go much farther to keeping people safe.
Thank you. And just an FYI, I'm hearing the commissioner give answers she gave before the recess when you were asking questions. So if you've got new questions, that would be great. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe each question that I've asked as it relates to ergonomics has been different today. So I appreciate your attention to my questions. To the commissioner then, how did the department arrive at 100 employees for warehouse and meatpacking sites?
Commissioner.
And Madam Chair, Representative. So that's always where to apply standards is always a consideration OSHA has to take in. And oftentimes the conversation is, what level of employees puts an employer at a place where they have the resources to implement something well? And to make sure that when they're doing that, it's done well, and we see the desired impact, which is to prevent injuries from workers. So that's taken into consideration. The other piece is we know that we do actually see high rates of injuries with smaller employers. When we want to get to that point and have an opportunity to teach and learn from what larger employers are able to put into place, that we do have those lessons. So we are focusing on the employers that we know have the resources and ability to put these programs into place, that we can develop the resources within the department to help them do that. And as you probably saw as part of the ergonomics proposal, we're also proposing a significant amount of safety grants, which are grants that go directly to employers to help cover the costs of purchases, equipment, training that goes directly into their ergonomics program. So being able to do that, to learn from those and then apply those learnings across the board to make every workplace safer, that's how we came up with that number.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioner. I guess the underlying question here, or one underlying question, is how do we know this when we haven't investigated many of the biggest grievances that this committee has heard this session? You know, I'm thinking about Amazon right now, but how do we know when we've heard, I believe it was from you, that hasn't taken place in some of our warehouses?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Representative, I'm not sure if I completely understand the question. Sorry.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Commissioner, this we heard a testimony that many instances of safety concerns haven't been properly investigated by the department. And so we're here and we haven't talked to the job creators, the employers in this. Like, what are we basing this off of if we haven't even investigated the concerns that have been brought forward?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Representative. So I think I've stated we have talked to a lot of people surrounding this ergonomics proposal, including some employers, including employees, including the medical field, and including, and I don't want to understate this, the experts that we have within the department in our OSHA division. All of that has come into play in drafting this proposal. Now I'm forgetting what the initial question was. I just wanted to make sure that I did say that we have consulted with a lot of people. About OSHA. So this proposal sets up the program and it provides resources to OSHA. That's something we've heard throughout, and I'll be the first to say it. We don't have the resources to be at every job site in the state. We have 50 inspectors that are out. They cover the whole state. We don't have it. Building this program with the resources we're asking for allows us to devote specific time, specific resources to the problem of ergonomics, which has not been adequately addressed in OSHA regulations or state statute in the past.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I am getting towards the bottom of my questions here, but an underlying question to the point that you just made, Commissioner, that especially this side of the aisle, but I think the committee as a whole has very large interest in, is in this this omnibus bill that we're going to put forward. This is passed, signed into law by the governor. Is your department going to have the resources that it needs to properly investigate the workforce safety concerns that this committee has heard during this session and properly investigate them?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Representative, we will always take more resources. We are happy to take more resources. We, even with the additional OSHA inspectors that would come with the ergonomics proposal, we still are unable to be at every work site in the state. That we'll never be able to do that. So I think the answer is, will we continue to do a great job, an amazing job of running an OSHA program in the state of Minnesota? Yes. But will more resources make us more effective? Absolutely.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm going to go next to kind of the back of this particular section of the bill and just ask, and this might be a good question for the author of the bill. This is a brand new section to this bill. It does not clearly define, or it's not specified in the bill as to when this would be enacted, which from listening to you, Mr. Chair, you said that means it would then be August 1st of this year. And my question is, do we have, is there any amiability from the author or from the department to delay implementation of this ergonomics policy.
Representative Schultz, are you directing your question to the chair or the commissioner?
To the chair. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Chair Nelson.
Just trying to see here. Normally, as we say, when bills get, if they don't have an, or sections of bills do not have effective dates, August 1st is the default. And I'm just trying to see here if in the ergonomics section.
I believe it would be page 56.
Representative
page
Schultz,
what?
Please go through the chair. Chair Nelson.
Page 56, you said?
Representative Schultz.
Madam Chair and Representative Nelson, I believe that section of the bill finishes up on line 56.9.
Chair Nelson.
Then if that section of the bill, it would be August 1st, then if that's the way it is, and I'll have to have staff look through that in the future, but it would find out. But yes, that would be August 1st, would be that part. When it's passed, would take effect.
Follow up, we do have another member.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do think that that's an area where this bill could improve as you move forward, and there certainly between the conversations between the House and the Senate, there will be those opportunities, and I think that that would be a worthy thing and to place on the record. My final question here, and this would be to the commissioner, so near the end of this particular section, going back one page, page 55, lines 55.30 and 55.31, the standard development to me looks like it grants a great amount of authority to the commissioner in regards to this standard, and my concern, and I would love to hear your response to whether that particular provision provides you the opportunity to enforce this standard to every business in Minnesota, and that being my concern.
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Representative, so under current OSHA state plan authority, OSHA does have the ability to make rules. So what this does in statute is it applies what the program requirements to the industries that are identified, but OSHA could conduct rulemaking to extend that. What we have done what we want to do in this bill to look at the industries where we know we have issues, to learn from those, and then any plans in the future for rulemaking would be informed by the program as it's outlined in the statute.
Mr. Chair.
And Madam Chair and Representative Schultz, I would liken this to a city that's having a crime problem or a speeding problem, that you go after the ones where you have the most problems first, and then you work your way down. And if they solve all the problems in here, the ergonomic program would then be able to be expanded to other industries with the help of the department to be able to institute those in other industries and other places. But if you want to start where you have a lot of injuries and work your way down to the ones where you don't have injuries. So like I said, you've got a street. I'm thinking back a few years ago, my city had trouble with on a street that was in front of a high school, that at 3:30 every day when school let off, there was a lot of speeding up and down that street. Just so happens that that was the time of the shift change for the police officers. And they changed the time when they did the shift change and positioned officers there, and the speeding problem went away. So this is kind of what I think the commissioner is trying to do, and this ergonomics program is trying to do, is you start with industries where we know we're having a lot of injuries, where we can prevent them, and then move forward. When this is successful and up and running, then we can move to other industries as needed.
Final follow-up before I call on the next member.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that we've heard a number of different things from the commissioner and the author of the bill that kind of outline one of the reasons why the policies that we're seeing this session and in this bill, the different definitions are placing many job creators and business owners on an unlevel playing field, where under one standard it's everybody, on another it's 100, on another it's fractions of a fractions of 100, and it's, I don't know that that's serving especially job creators very well as we seek to expand. So I just point that out for the record.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And all of this discussion about ergonomics, this is just more I am letting people know about a bill that I'm working on as it relates to the training of OCH docs or occupational medicine doctors. As I said earlier during the ergonomics discussion, we do have a shortage of occupational physicians in this state and in this country. And I will be working on some bills to help us with this. This is something that that bosses are asking for and employers are asking for, but also it is paramount for worker safety. It occurs to me that as we think about how we can expand the study of workplace safety and ergonomics, we need doctors who will be doing that. So Representative Schultz, Chair Nelson, Commissioner's already been very helpful in working on this and putting this together, but I will be bringing a bill together for that occupational medicine field and welcome feedback on that. And so I'm just throwing that out there to anyone who's interested.
Thank you. I'll just say I've been a flight attendant for 20 years. My rotator cuff will never be the same. My wrists, my elbows, never going to be the same throwing bag after bag after bag up in an overhead bin that is much taller than I am. And over the years, that policies have changed around that. Originally, I had to put up anybody's bag that I was asked to. So big strapping guy like you, Representative Schultz, if you dropped your bag in front of me and it weighs more than I do, it's my job to put that bag up for you. But over the course of time, the last 20 years, there were a lot of safety studies done by the airlines. And as a result of that, unless you're elderly, a pregnant woman, or in some other way disabled or unable to be in charge of your own bag, then I will put that up for you. And we have all sorts of recommendations that we get from the airline. This is how you lift. This is how you restock your cart. The point is, we see what happens to workers, and over the course of time, as we get new information, as we get new experts that tell us things, we change those policies to make it safer for our workers. A little late for me, but I'm probably going to live. So I think this whole discussion around the ergonomics is to say that we are seeing what's happening to our workers. We are innovating around how we care for our workers. And in the end, for both employees and employers, job providers, we're going to see not only bodies that are continuing to work and work well in the workforce, but also the costs that you're worried about aren't going to be an issue because your employees are able to do the job. They're not leaving the workforce. You're not having to replace them constantly, turnover, training, all those things that cost money. So I appreciate this provision in the bill. I appreciate the department for coming to us with this. And Chair Nelson, any final remarks?
Madam Chair.
Representative Schultz.
Just for the record, we do have other questions here so that we're not heading directly to a vote. But I'll just mention, to your point, I think you just outlined the questions before the body, and you know, Representative Jordan works very diligently on legislation year round, and that means that we can be putting an idea forward that is comprehensive, so that you know, we do not know from the answers provided today how we arrived at healthcare facilities, warehouse distribution centers, and meatpacking sites, and why that doesn't include airline attendants. So this deserves a broader conversation, which is ultimately where we were trying to get at today. This is brand new language. Ergonomics on itself could have been given its own hearing, and yet that could have taken any form. And it sounds like Representative Jordan may have been the author of said bill, and it could have been a great conversation for us in its own hearing with public testimony, I will add, because this section of the bill took none of that. And business owners are going to deal with the implications of this on August 1st of this year. And there are many, based upon the definitions in this bill, so many who are impacted by this. Tens of thousands of workers in this state impacted by this. And we do, as a committee, as a body, we do care about worker safety. But let's have a comprehensive approach. I think that is the bare minimum that we can ask, that we have a comprehensive approach to look at these things so that everybody has a voice at the table. And so, this has been a good discussion, and I do appreciate the commissioner and the author of the bill for indulging us in this conversation today.
Any further discussion? Lead McDonald.
Madam Chair, yeah, I have a list of a series of questions. No, I'm just teasing. Just in closing, I think to wrap this up on our end here that have been involved in the committee, and just to go quickly, briefly through some things, Resident Nelson, that we have some concerns with. For example, the nursing home workforce standard. We already have a group that has been working very hard on that issue, and instead of providing funding, as you saw on the House floor today, very passionate about any dollars going to nursing homes, should go to keep them open and not creating yet another workforce committee standards that will only be another duplicative movement here in the legislature. We tend to do this, folks, on my friends on this side. We duplicate so many different policies and procedures and committees, and this is one of them, and yet no dollars going towards nursing homes. The petroleum skilled workers, certainly the industries is one of the top leading industries in the nation, including our state, for workforce safety. This bill is really favors the unions, and it takes good contractors who have had 100 years of experience and kicks them out of their job. They, in your bill, if it should pass, Representative Nelson, this is why we spoke against it, they would have to leave their jobs, they'd have to go through training, another training facility, and then be rehired. After taking hundreds of years of trained expertise contractors, but because they're not with the union, they will lose their job. So we have grave concerns about that, and I think all should have. The general contractors policy is very unfair. Representative Mecklen tried to make that point. You saw he's passionate about it. He's a contractor. He works and builds things. So do you, Representative Nelson. So I'm surprised you actually kept that in your bill and exempt the unions. Representative Mecklen made those points very eloquently, I think, that a contractor, subcontractor would have to be, contractor would have to pay the subcontractor if he didn't pay his workers, and which and oftentimes they've already been paid. I think it's a very unfair precedent for our contractors and for the whole industry completely. So we can't support that. There are some good provisions in your bill. It's not all, we're not all negative on it, and Debbie Downer. There's some good provisions, such as, well, Representative Daniels' bill. We really like that one a lot, of course. We thank you for putting it in there. And the veterans' benefits, I think, is a very good service for that. The labor education advancement grant programs are very good. Your apprenticeship programs, your hard to hats, hard helmets. What is it? Hard hats to helmets. Very good. Oh, what is it? Helmets to hard hat. Thank you, Representative Jordan. So we do have some good provisions in your bill. I don't think we're going to be able to support it for some of those reasons I stated. The adult changing tables in every single floor, I think, is kind of overstepping its bounds as far as the necessity of that and the cost to businesses. I think that other states, such as Michigan, I think, did adopt it. It was important to them, but it was a one floor per building. So every floor is going to be very expensive and frankly, probably not needed. The meat and poultry processing, Representative Wogomets, we certainly have spoken on that, his provisions there. You know, Ronald Reagan said, I was listening to a quote today, you know, sometimes our phones listen to us. Did you know that? Uh-oh. Yeah, they listen to us, and they pop up on Instagram or whatever you're watching, and they show you a site that you've been talking about. So, but Ronald Reagan said something interesting, and I wrote it down, and I tried to memorize it, and it's, I think it's evident what could happen to a government that has over-regulates and thinks they have to solve every single problem. Now, Representative Hussein has a, your bill has some good merit, and we welcome that discussion, because some of the things that you brought up are very important. We know that, I know that as a rider, occasionally when I use Uber or Lyft or whatever, the community here was here. I like what Representative Kozlowski said. She said, give power back to the people. That's very powerful. That's what our founding fathers wanted to do. That's why we still live in this country. And I think that's very poignant, Representative Kozlowski. Good Polish name. I got to pronounce it very carefully. It's exactly what we need to do. And I welcome that discussion because there are some legitimate concerns that you brought up. And some provisions in your bill are good. Some are very costly and painting with a broad brush, very extensive. And I welcome some of those causes. And I hope that you're sincere in asking us to help draft some of that. But Ronald Reagan said this. He says, someone very profoundly once said, if fascism ever comes to America, it'll come in the form of liberalism. What is fascism? It's private ownership, private enterprise, but total government control and regulation. Now, the so-called conservative says, less government, get off my back, get out of my pocket, and let me control more of my destiny. With this bill, Representative Nelson, it is it paints with a broad brush. It's over-regulated against the employers, the job creators. This committee does important work to protect the safety of its workers. I don't think you'll find anyone on any side of the aisle that doesn't want to protect the workers. And your bill does some of that, Representative Nelson. But it goes a wee bit too far on its mandates, its regulations, its fees. The due dates are so quick and doesn't give the job owners an opportunity to even respond so quickly to such changes. Your fee structure the fees for retribution are kept up with inflation. So the fees and the penalties continue to go up and up and up and up. So it doesn't give them job creators, the employers, an opportunity really to respond to it. And we don't trust them. The bill says, bad job creators, we don't trust you. We, big government, will come in and mandate and regulate everything you do. Now, we've heard from the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. We've heard from the school boards. We heard from the National Federation of Independent Businesses. We heard from contractors. We've heard from, what else have we heard from? Convenience store associations. We heard from a vast collection of people who are out keeping this economy going with grave concerns of your bill. And I hope that you haven't ignored them, Representative Nelson. I hope that you've listened to them. It's not evident in your bill because some of the provisions that they had concerns with are not changed. Some are, but most aren't. It's over-regulated, and we don't trust our job creators. It's more of an expense, and frankly, as Mr. Wonderful said, there's another thing. I wasn't even looking for Mr. Wonderful from the Shark Tank. He had a quote, too. He was being interviewed, I think, in Fargo, Moorhead. Fargo, and he said, I would never open a business in Minnesota because it's over-regulated, overtaxed, and too expensive to have a company in. And your bill does help promote over-regulating, overtaxed, and over-penalties. And for those reasons, we cannot support your bill today. Did I miss anything, fellow members? Chime in if you'd like to. I'm sure the chair wouldn't mind hearing from a couple of members that haven't spoke yet tonight.
Representative actually, I'm sorry. I'm not going to call on anybody else at the moment. Members of the committee, the public, we have a representative here who was in the remarks of Lead McDonald misgendered. Representative Kozlowski uses they, them. They will be addressed as such at all times moving forward. That will not be tolerated again.
Madam Chair.
Lead McDonald.
You know, when we speak, sometimes our mouth moves faster than our brain. What did I say? And if I said anything, Representative Kozlowski, it certainly was never, ever intended to offend anyone. I've been here for 13 years, and I do my best not to offend people. Matter of fact, Representative, who is it? One of the representatives that's no longer here said, McDonald, you're going to get along pretty well here. She said this 13 years ago. As you respect people and you're a statesman, you're diplomatic, you're not snarky and mean, and I think you'll do fine here. I thought that was a compliment as a freshman. So whatever I said, please remind me, and I'll be happy to apologize.
That was for the committee public in the room and watching at large. We all need to do better.
Well, excuse me, Madam Chair, what did I say that's so offensive?
I would encourage...
I don't make that mistake again.
I hear you. I appreciate that, Lead McDonald. I would encourage you to take that offline with Representative Kozlowski or ask me offline.
Well,
Madam Chair, then you shouldn't have brought it up online then, if you're not
yes, bring it back online. Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Nelson, you know I was not necessarily supporting your A1 amendment. When we add this additional type of, I mean, this is a heavy, heavy amount of bureaucratic work or administrative work on all these small builders. And we have this big problem of a lack of affordable housing. How do you meld the two together when we don't have enough labor in both union and non-union? We don't have enough affordable housing, but we're going to hammer 70-some percent of all the builders out there even harder, but then intentionally exempt the organized labor.
Madam Chair.
Was that a question?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, the question is the home builders. And in this, there's also an exemption for contractors that build 10 or less units, homes a year. So the small contractors are protected in this bill, in that amendment.
Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And obviously this is going to the floor at some point, but I just, seriously, if you could take that into account. I mean, this is, I know it will be fought in court immediately. I've already been assured by my own attorney, so, and he's, I don't know. Very good. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Closing comments, Chair Nelson.
Madam Chair, as I said, this is a good worker protection bill. This is what we're coming out of our committee. It's funding the Department of Labor and Interstate. It's funding OSHA. And with that, Madam Chair, I request a yes vote. And again, I renewed my motion earlier, but I renew my motion that House File 2755 as amended be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
Thank you. The committee legislative assistant will take the roll.
Chair Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson? Aye. Vice Chair Berg?
Aye.
Berg? Aye. Lead McDonald?
No.
McDonald? Nay. Representative Daniels?
No.
Daniels? Nay. Representative Greenman?
Aye.
Greenman? Aye. Representative Hill? Hill? Aye. Representative Hussein?
Aye.
Hussein? Aye. Representative Jordan?
Jordan? Aye.
Jordan? Aye. Representative Kozlowski?
Aye.
Kozlowski? Aye. Representative Mecklen?
Nay.
Mecklen, nay. Representative Myers?
Nay.
Myers, nay. Representative Schultz?
Nay.
Schultz, nay. Representative Wolgamott?
Aye.
Wolgamott, aye. Madam Chair, with the conclusion of roll call, there are 8 ayes and 5 nays.
There being 8 ayes and 5 nays, the motion prevails and the bill is on its way. Seeing no further business today, we are adjourned.